Well, here's a guy who gets it right all the time. He's a senior writer, MLB.com, formerly of the Chicago Tribune, one of the great baseball guys in the country, Phil Rogers. Phil, how are you today?
Hey, Marty. I just lost a 6-4 game that got tied up 6-6 in the ninth. So you tell me, how am I doing? Not good.
Not good. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at the board. Top of the, top of the 11th now?
Yeah, I thought Greg Holland, I don't know, the White Sox have two runs in them, and a classic reverse lock, two out, two run double by J.D. Schuck.
All right. Well, that's one I'm going to put in my memory bank, J.D. Schuck. I'll have to remember that one. But, Phil, we've talked a lot about the 2 weeks coming up and teams that are in it. And you wrote a great story this morning, or yesterday, actually, on MLB.com about the Royals of last year and why teams look at this and why nobody's given up, because the Royals last year were a team that people forgot about in the wild card race.
Yeah, they were way up the tracks, and they opened the second half by getting swept in Boston. They couldn't score any runs. Clay Buchholz shut them down, and then they came to Chicago, and in the first game, Chris Sale shut them down. They were under 500, seventh place in the wild card race. People were calling for Ned Yost's job, for Dayton Moore's job. Nobody could see it coming, and they did in that series in Chicago almost a year ago to a day. There was a players-only meeting, and who knows cause and effect, but since that time, with the exception of Game 7 of the World Series, they've been the best team in baseball, the winningest team.
Now, this applies to your White Sox as well, and we've talked about you had an interesting idea of maybe Chris Sale being traded to the Cubs for a number of players, but Samardzija's name has come up. But the White Sox are kind of in the position sort of like the Royals were last year, maybe a couple of players away, and you love their pitching.
Yeah, they're different teams for sure. I'm not trying to say they're the same. You have to applaud the way the Royals are put together, the homegrown nature, one piece at a time. You know, they made the really smart trades for Kane and Escobar when they were still minor league level, and it was a very patient approach they put. And the White Sox haven't been able to develop their own position players. They have a ton of pitching, but they did this offseason go out and add Melky Cabrera, who is his lifetime average in July, Marty, is about .330. He's the best July hitter in baseball, and he's kind of come along this year at about the right time. And they added him. They added David Robertson. They made that Jeff Samardzija trade. And, you know, really trying to add to a core. A couple of years ago, they lost 99 games, but they signed Jose Abreu, who gave them a pulse. And they made a pretty good trade for Jake Peavy, where they got Avisael Garcia and some other young pitchers or players. So they seem to kind of bounce back quicker, and you would figure they would do better. I do love their pitching. I don't know many rotations in the American League that should stack up to Sale, Jose Quintana, Carlos Rodon, and Jeff Samardzija. I mean, that should be a pretty good front four, and they haven't caught the ball. I think I'm very encouraged the fact they are catching the ball. They a kid named Tyler Saladino they called up, mostly because of his fielding. He's been hitting the ball, and their second baseman, Carlos Sanchez, is one of the better defensive infielders in baseball. People don't talk about him because he is a .200 career hitter, but if he ever raises his average, he's hit in the minors, but not in the big leagues. I don't know how many hundreds of guys we could say that about. It's certainly not uncommon, but if this guy ever becomes a .250 hitter in the big leagues, he's going to be a big-time player, Sanchez. So you see the parts, and it just makes me think to give up on July 18th or 19th would be premature.
Yeah, you can't do it anymore. The game has changed because everyone's got a shot, And everybody knows if you can get me three guys in the starting rotation, just get me in, and I can do some damage. And that's what everyone wants to do. I think the White Sox are sort of the epitome of many, many teams that are on the fringe. And over these next 2 weeks, we'll see how they develop. It's really almost a day-to-day game now until we get to July 31st. Do you think we'll see a lot of action ahead of July 31st? Because there are a lot of names that are out there. Scott Kazmir, Gallardo, God, Yasiel Puig's name is out there, Chapman, Cueto, Leak, Papelbon.
I think we'll see some surprising trades. And then I think we'll see some guys that we've been talking all year, Cole Hamels. You know, I think we'll see some guys that don't get traded that we thought would. Papelbon's another example. But I think we're going to see some really good baseball trades where, I mean, I would not be surprised if the White Sox traded Jose Quintana, who's, if you look beyond the career one-loss record, look at his peripheral stats, terrific 26-year-old pitcher, signed through, I think, 2020 under team control. Pretty valuable property. I could see him being flipped to a team that has an extra hitter. I think we're going to see some of those old-fashioned trades where teams kind of match up need for need. I don't know. The feeling I have is rental players aren't going to bring much return, and most of the players on the market, you know, Johnny Cueto maybe is an exception. Maybe the guys at the very top will still bring a good return, even though they're headed to free agency. But, you know, I don't think for 2 months, you know, in the American League especially, because there's no definition. You know, I think there's 12 teams in the American League that are, in my mind, fighting for four playoff spots, and I'm not factoring in the Mariners, and I'm not factoring in the A's, and that could be a mistake. But if you take them out, Kansas City's got a spot, and then that leaves 12 teams for four spots. They're all within six or seven games. Mm. They want to get better, but it's such a crapshoot that I just don't see them, many of them, being motivated to give a lot of talent in return.
Boy, it's going to be interesting. It reminds me of the old days where you could see trades for players instead of prospects, and maybe we'll see that. The Giants are chasing the Dodgers. Kershaw has a great game today and ended up with a 4-2 win. I guess someone gave up a couple of runs to the Nationals in the ninth inning. And they've got the Cubs on their sights, and they've got the Mets in their sights. You're in Chicago. We haven't seen the Cubs yet all year. We got to see them a lot in August. What do you project with the Cubs right now? Young team, maybe a year away, or are they ready to do it now? And will they be active?
Well, they'll definitely be a big team next year. And I think it's a coin flip as to whether they can do it this year or not. They're not scoring very many runs, and they're showing some of their young players are doing like young players do and, you know, not really stepping up. Addison Russell is an example. Unbelievable player in the field. I think he's going to wind up being their shortstop. But right now he's hitting about 200, and that was after a really fast start in April. Jorge Soler hasn't hit the way people would have thought he would have. Rizzo and Bryant have carried them a long way, and they need more supporting cast around them. I don't think they're going to trade any of their big prospects. I don't think they're going to make a blockbuster trade, but they have so many pieces in their system. I could see that they could step in and pick up a guy. I go back when they got Miguel Montero, they traded a really young pitcher, a 19-year-old pitcher named Jefferson Mejia. And I'm not sure many people hardly even knew that he was in the system, but he was a Latin player they had signed and given $1 million to. He was, he's a legitimate thing, but he's so far away from the big leagues that, he's not going to generate much talk. And, you know, they have a ton of Jefferson Mejia still in their system. So other teams will find a lot in their system to ask for. So I do think they'll make a move or two. It could be a left-handed hitting outfielder, although Kyle Schwarber, who's currently catching for them, I predict will wind up playing a lot of outfield for them and be a significant bat the last couple months. might fill that need. So it could just be a fifth starter. They need a fifth starter. But I agree with you that it's the Giants, the Mets, and the Cubs for the last wild card in the NL. And I don't know. Maybe the Nationals will turn the East into a race, but it feels like there's four pretty set playoff teams.
I love it. I think it's great. I like this season. I like this season. I really do. I think the second wild card has made July very interesting for me, and so many names out there that this is going to be a good. And it's, I'm telling you, day to day, because team goes on a 2-3 game losing streak. All of a sudden, they realize they're 8 out instead of 6 out or 5 out. And then they got to do something by the 31st, and you got to get it done because the waiver period doesn't help you. You got to get it done now. Hey, Phil, one last thought. Phil Rogers, MLB.com. You were at the All-Star game. You got to hear Rob Manfred a little bit. Can this thing go back to 154 games? Is that possible?
It is possible. To my surprise, you know, there is some momentum for that among owners. It's not just a union thing. I think the feeling is they've got to do something to address injuries. Maybe shortening the schedule will. I mean, it would cut down on if you shorten the schedule. I don't know, what percent would you be shortening it? 7%, 8%. If you do that, you should have 7 or 8% fewer injuries. But maybe they think it'll have benefits beyond that. You know, I just think if you look at the first day players go to spring training. And you carry that out to the last day, the day of Game 7 of the World Series, suddenly the season has gotten almost a month longer than it was in the days of Ted Williams and Joe DiMaggio. And, you know, I think that's where we're wearing out players. And, you know, I would shorten spring training. The teams now have all the nice stadiums that they like to fill up. You know, the Cubs, I believe, averaged 15,000 this year in Mesa for spring training games. So owners aren't interested in rolling them back. They like those 30 dates. But I think you would benefit the game a little bit if you compacted the schedule. And you would, you know, yes, the players are really nicely rewarded. But I think the players value their time too, and I think they would be very happy if, you know, they were given an extra week or two of off season.
Wow, boy, that could be interesting. Phil, thank you so much. Still 6-6. It's in the top of the 12th right now. Royals and the White Sox.
I'm almost home. I'll turn it on, buddy.
All right, Phil. Thank you so much. As always,
thank you. Great insight.
Great insight.
All right, thanks, buddy. Bye bye.
All right, Phil Rogers, MLB.com. Great insight. The guy, really, he will be in Cooperstown one day. He's one of those national writers that will get acknowledged. Phil Rogers, he's right up there.